morning, folks. Happy Friday and welcome back. And this is a very special week, obviously. This is the week of Pesach, depending upon whether you keep to the Hillel calendar or the aka the standard Jewish calendar, the diaspora calendar, or as I do, the sighted moon calendar. Well, there's about a day difference, but one way or the other, this week was the meal that was held in celebration of the beginning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days. It's also the time, although the mainstream whoring church gets it wrong, and I'm going to say that as kindly as I can, when the risen Mashiach did what he did for all of us, and unfortunately, what's been done, and this really does irritate me, David, but they have renamed that feast after, or that event, after a pagan fertility goddess. And I can't help but think, if you look through all of Scripture and ask yourself, what is probably the most abominable act of idolatry that would really rub his nose in? That's got to be pretty close to the top. Anyway, so normally this would be a holy day that I would take off, but I got to thinking about it. Talked to David last night, and I said, you know what? It's a good day to just kind of sit down, kick back, relax a little bit, spend some time with a good friend, talk about things that are important, and I don't see that as a problem on a day of rest, because this is something that we need to talk about. There's certainly a lot going on, and it's a time I think people need to be paying attention, because the Mashiach himself says we're supposed to know the times and the seasons. And if there is a more important time and season than the time of Passover and all of the things that he has done for us, in so many ways of releasing us from bondage, I honestly am not sure what it is. It also tends to be a time when a lot of stuff comes to the fore, and we're certainly seeing that too. So let me say good morning, David. Great to talk with you. Thanks for being with us again. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing real well, actually. All things considered, I have a few really good friends, and so I'm always having good conversation. And one thing that's important in my life is advancing my understanding of truth and getting in alignment with that truth, which is the spirit of our Father. And one thing that we talked about this week, and I'm hoping we can dance around it a little bit today, is you made reference to the concept that the whole world's a stage. And we had that conversation. And, you know, in light of what's going on this planet right now, it is an amazing, if you sit back and watch it as though it's a movie and that there's actors in this movie and there's a stage going on, it really lends itself to some intrigue and drama and all of the emotional things that go along with drama that is unfolding. So it's been an amazing year. It's been an amazing week. So, yeah, let's touch on some things and put it all into context, Mark. I think you and I can accomplish that.
Okay.
Thank you for having me on.
Well, I'm thanking you for being here too. So it's great. And like I said, I want to do this a little bit differently than we normally do in honor of the holy day. By the way, Good Friday has always been one of those things that irritated me ever since I was a little kid, David. I remember thinking, how for crying out loud can we believe that from Friday to Sunday is 3 days and three nights? And I remembered having a problem thinking, why do we worship a God who can't count? Well, it turns out it wasn't his problem. It was things that have been lied about ever since then. So there's a lot of that going on. But on the days, let me throw this out. I know this is not where you want to go, but I think it'll get us there. This was also the 90th anniversary of a whole lot of things that are also coming to a head, ironically, this week, this month. April the 5th, 1933, which was Wednesday, is the 90th anniversary of when FDR, America's first truly fascist tyrant, although some would argue that Lincoln was, but he was a mercantilist too, which is very much related. Anyway, FDR told Americans via Executive Order 6102, turn in your gold, Octoon, you slaves, you don't have a right to keep it anymore. So they were literally forced to turn it in or be subject to a fine of up to $10,000. Now, for the irony here, you got to understand, $10,000 when gold was a $20 gold piece was an ounce or so, approximately 500 ounces of gold coins. That'd be a cool $1 million today. So this was a pretty serious fine, and of course the jail time, and all to prove to Americans that you're no longer free, that you no longer have the right to keep that, which the Constitution said was real money. And here we are 90 years later, and the same situation is repeating itself, because this time it's the entire fiat dollar system that's collapsing. So that is, I think I mentioned that because there are so many things that seem to kind of cluster around this time of the year. Let this be a beginning of months for you, is how the Creator put it in the book of Exodus when he was talking to Moses. So here we are with so many things coming down, and you're right. Take us from there where you'd like to go.
Well, I have a bookend to what you just said, and it's HJR 192. And there, if you look back into the 1920s and the early 1930s, there was a congressman named Lewis T. McFadden. He was the chairman of the House Banking Committee. And he filed a notice of he filed charges against the Federal Reserve Board and against the Secretary of the then Secretary of Treasury, charged them with treason, charged them with high treason. And the basically what he was arguing in his findings was that the Federal Reserve System had committed, with several key players in the government, had committed a coup d'etat against the sitting American government back in the day.
You got it.
And this idea that they made it the holding of gold illegal is because they brought in, clandestinely, they subverted the American constitutional system, and they implemented a private system with their own private money, which is why they wanted the gold out of circulation. They only gave, and since then, they were giving lip service to the Constitution, because we were operating under a private monetary, a private governmental, or you could call it a corporation. It was an artificial government. It was no longer the covenant government that the America's founding fathers had implemented when they initiated the American government back in the day, 1776, or when, if you want to trace it all the way back to Pilgrim's Rock, America was founded on a covenant with our father, and that covenant bound us to the principles of truth as expressed scripturally and through the Declaration of Independence, which tied the scripture directly to, and our capacity as the children, which gives us the capacity of sovereign inside the body of Christ. That was a fundamental concept. That principle, that idea, that covenant was breached in the 1930s, and so by going here, yes, you're distinguishing a very important turning point in history, Mark. There's my two cents. Keep going.
Well, and I guess the reason why I wanted to do this show today and talk about things is because you can go back in history, and certainly people have, and note that a whole lot of major turning points tend to happen on the biblical feast days, the spring feast, the fall feast, and in particular, obviously one of the great turning points in all of human history happened the first Passover, and then 2,000 years approximately back with the follow-up, the one that put in place a lot of things that made clear what was actually going on. Well, ironically, we have the fall feast. Those are still yet to be accomplished. But as we look at the times and the seasons, I can't help but think, if we're paying attention, if we understand things the way they were really written as opposed to what we've been told, we see a whole lot of stuff that begins to fall into place. I don't like to talk about truly horribly negative things, but I think sometimes it's important to at least get the perspective that they bring. Last weekend was the so-called transgender day of aggression, rage. It fizzled a bit because they claimed, I think what happened was there were some crackdowns from some honest cops in various places that put a little bit of a kibosh on it, and I'll come back to that in a second. But we have seen so much that has been literally just jammed in people's faces. It's kind of like the satanic hosts get more and more emboldened. I read an interesting book by Jonathan Cahn, his latest book a while back, where he talks about The Return of the Gods, which is the name of the book. And essentially, one of the biggies in there is Ishtar. A very pagan goddess, fertility goddess. By the way, she's also known as Easter. And the goddess Easter is playing a great role, is what he suggests in the book, along with others like Baal and Molech and so forth by various names. And now the turnover of the United States, the rainbow flag, all kinds of stuff. But what we're seeing here is that now that the gloves are off and they're teaching it to kids in schools, there is no boundary to the level of evil that was intended. Here is the story that kind of inclined me this way this morning, David. And ironically, of all places, this comes from the Daily Mail out of the UK. Now, that's pretty much of a leftist paper, but I'll admit they're a lot more balanced, if you can call it that, than the WAPO or the New York Times ever was. Here's the headline. And this was just this week. Transgender Colorado woman, age 19, is arrested over a plot to shoot up not one, but three schools and churches by cops who found detailed plans. This is a transgender, I don't know whether he, she, it has a penis or not. They don't say which way, but essentially, yeah, goes by Lily, was arrested just 4 days after the recent massacre of yet another transgender, anti-Christian wannabe killer. And the gun-free killing zone wasn't quite as gun-free as it needed to be. Anyway, among her possessions, police found a kill list and a copy of what else? The Communist Manifesto. Go ahead.
Well, when the world, which is the, I'm going to distinguish the world. I did this last week. I'm going to do it again. The movie, The Truman Show. When we have a fake world, when we have fake Christianity, when we have a fake narrative that has circumvented the truth, and it's done through the financially, and it's done spiritually, and it's done every aspect of our life. Remember Paul Harvey, excuse me. You remember back in the day, he said if I was the devil, the first thing he would do is infiltrate the church and corrupt the church from within. And we've seen so much infiltration, because that's the the modus operandi of the enemy, is to infiltrate and commandeer from within the core of everything, so that the narrative that is established overcomes the truth. And the only thing that can overcome the narrative deception is it bringing the truth back in. Transgenderism, this is just a symptom of the latest fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay, it's where it goes. It's axiomatic. Of course we ended up here. This is where it goes. So stiff-necked Israel, you know, people that don't want to know the truth. So we get on this path of materialism and indoctrination, and that's the world of all these false gods and all these, you know, Baal and Mammon, and, you know, scripture has a lot of different names for this narrative, but it's a false reality. And it's gotten to where it's so commonly accepted as true that to bring the truth into this false narrative sounds insane, but yet now here we are, witnessing something that's so insane, I think it may be driving people to want to know the truth finally. But yeah, this transgender thing is just the latest iteration. It's the latest evolution, if you will, of the narrative that has occupied the hearts and souls and minds of the people. And, you know, this, and we're just now waking up. And, you know, so that if there is any good news, any silver lining in this transgender agenda, it's pricking us like with a needle. It's like a splinter on our minds. It's causing us, you know, maybe this is what causes us to shake it off and actually, you know, grow a desire to know the truth. Sorry, Mark, I realize it's a long rant.
No, forgive that's okay. Well, so last thing on that topic, because it is irritating. You're right. We talked about this a bit last week. There is literally a mass insanity. There are all kinds of terms that are being used. Mass formation psychosis, the Stockholm syndrome. What happens when people basically just give in to insanity and say, I'm tired of swimming upstream. I'm just going to let my kids be turned into little abominations in scripture. After all, if I can put up with a fertility goddess, having the name of what should have been the most important time in history, what can't I put up with, right? And the answer is, well, they're going to find out because we're seeing it on every front. So it is literally a level of insanity that I think we tend to look at it. We've talked about it for weeks, if not months, David, shake our heads and go, how could anybody possibly put up with this stuff? And the answer is, more and more people aren't. But on the other hand, those that are fallen for it are literally, they're too far gone to save, I think. Excuse me. One last thing this week, and I don't even care. I'll just throw this out. Bud Light has a tranny can. Have you seen this? With a picture of a so-called transgender on a can. And the best response I saw, probably people have seen it. I'm sure it's had millions of views at this point. Kid Rock, and that's not somebody that I follow, but he took a full auto machine gun out to the range and a bunch of cases of Bud Light and said, here's what I think of Budweiser and Bud Light, and just shot him up. Oh, of course, the left had a hissy fit. He is pushing violence. No, he's not. He's pushing back against violence, and that's the point here. Go ahead.
One interesting thing, actually, I don't know. One is, it's unlimited, the interesting things. The Bud has never, ever, in its entire history, ever put up woman on its can. So the idea that it's putting a transgender woman on its can, it's just, if anything, it's just completely hypocritical. I want to go back, though, and I want to go all the way back to the cross, because, this is the season, or the stake, or whatever it was he was, murdered on. I want to go back to the people that did that, and I want to go back and distinguish that, when he rose, our master, our Messiah, our King, damage control became the rule of the day. They were all about damage control, and those that were responsible, and I'm going to call them Edomites, they were the enemies, they pursued a religious system. I believe that they are responsible for establishing the Christian, early Christian Catholicism, which is how all these pagan holidays infiltrated into Christianity, is because they created a paradigm, if you will, of damage control. They created the narrative to subjugate the truth to their dominion and control. And so even today, looking back, we have a hard time when we read the Bible. It's not the Bible is the problem, it's the narrative that's been projected over the Bible through which we read the Bible. It's like the lens through which we read the Bible. It would be analogous to trying to read the Constitution without understanding the fact that America was founded as a covenant with God, and the Constitution is we're supposed to be reading it through the Declaration of Independence. We're supposed to be reading the Scripture from a perspective of what is the truth, rather than a subjective narrative that's been projected onto it that has caused so much confusion in the world. And I'm going to tie this back to transgenderism, that is ultimately culminated in what we're living in today, which is a completely insane, unhinged world that makes no sense, and which brings us to the Budweiser can. What makes no sense to me is, why would Bud deliberately destroy their own business? Are they really that stupid? Are they really that deceived? What is really going on here? How can anyone not see that they're basically pointing a cannon in their own ship and firing it, because that's going to be the result, Mark?
Well, and that is an excellent point, and I guess it's a good way to get where I think you were wanting to head anyway. Why, oh, why? And the answer is because this is not a capitalist system anymore. It's a socialist system or a communist system. And the communists rail against profits. How dare these companies look for profits? Well, turns out that they're not looking for profits. Basically, what we've seen with Budweiser, by the way, they're not the first. Look at Walt Disney. Disney Corporation has basically said, hey, we built a franchise on we care about kids. Now, it turns out maybe there were some lies in there from the get-go, but now it's, we really hate kids and we want them turned into little abominations. And a lot of parents have awakened to the fact that Disney is one of the most evil corporations on the planet. How can they possibly be making any money? And of course, they charge outrageous fines or fees or whatever. They literally, their concentration camps masquerading as playgrounds are something else. But here's the key, David. These companies aren't looking to please their customers. When we had a free market and we had real money, and you've already talked about, the failure of what the United States is to have real money anymore, companies said, I want to provide a product or service that people want. They'll pay me for it. I'll be able to grow and hire more people, and everybody will benefit. But what they've done in the last few years is to say, hell with the people that are buying our products. We have an agenda to push. Somebody else is doing something to make it worth their while. Is it Soros behind the scenes? Is it all the political goodies that they're getting, the tax benefits? All of that is part of it. But here's the thing. We no longer have an economic model based on people providing products or services for profit. What we've got is Budweiser saying, hey, we don't care about whether you like us or not. Somebody else is greasing our skids here. Same for Disney. Same for you name it. So many others. All of these companies like Dick's Sporting Goods, I remember. Walmart and others that used to sell firearms. And they're saying, it's more politically, more economically beneficial for us to say, the hell with our customers and their right to keep and bear arms or their right to freedom of assembly or speech or worship. And we got another God we're serving, and you can take that any way you want, and it all fits. Go ahead.
Well, I know we're coming up to the break. I'll say this. This is my opinion. This is my narrative, whether it's true or not, subject to scrutiny. I believe that what these corporations are doing is grooming. They're grooming us. They're putting it out there so that we're shocked and outraged, so we'll get over it. So it's not about profits. It's not about anything that used to be the norm. They're evolving their system into totalitarianism. It's a mob rule, not mob by voting. It's a mob as in a syndicate type mob. But they're grooming us to accept pedophilia. They're grooming us to watch this. They're grooming us to accept child sacrifice.
You bet.
They're grooming us to accept abomination as normal. So that they have this covers that they can hide underneath, so that when they get busted, it's basically a race to the finish line. Are they going to get busted? Is Trump going to be successful in busting them and throwing them in jail, or are they going to groom us into accepting and, oh, we got to be compassionate on these people because it's just normal for them to be that way. And I think that may be what's going on, Mark.
Okay, I think we're on the same page, and yeah, we've got the break coming up in just a minute. When we get back, let's talk about some of the other things that all fit to the same pattern here, and especially remember that what we're dealing with is how do we walk, how do we move forward in such a time as this? And we got about 30 seconds, so let's see here. Let me throw out one more element.
Go ahead.
No, you go.
I was going to say how then shall we live is with every fiber of our being, we have to turn on our minds to the fact that we've been deceived and we don't know there. And that's what the word repent means, is we have to reconsider everything. We have to change the way we think. We have to change the way we use our minds.
All right. And we'll use our minds a bit more after this bottom of the hour break. We'll be right back. right, we are back, folks. This is the Drive Time Friday Show, and it's a special Friday because this is the week that we begin the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the celebration of the resurrection of the real Mashiach, not the one that has been renamed and supposedly did away with the law and all kinds of things that would mark him as not the one we want to follow. I always think, David, that's why Scripture and Paul write, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because we've inherited a lot of lies. You mentioned something. I didn't comment on it, but I can't help but think this is a great way to reintroduce where we were headed. The Roman Church and how over the centuries they added all kinds of paganism in and basically said, hey, come on, bring your paganism, come on in. You know, you got your various pagan gods. Well, we'll rename it. You know, you want to be Constantine, if you'll quit persecuting us, we'll change the worship day to Sun God Day. We'll get rid of those things that we didn't like anyway, like Passover and Sukkot and all that. In other words, they did exactly what Scripture prohibits and what the Pharisees were doing, adding to and subtracting from. The Pharisees really made their bones adding to, and the Roman Church kind of subtracted from. We'll get rid of the things like what foods are allowed, and we'll change that, and what holy days, and we'll replace those with other ones. But ultimately, the way we got where we are is by doing things that were forbidden, adding to and subtracting from, changing times and seasons, and putting a bunch of stuff in there that he said is abomination. Don't do. Don't say that I like it. And now what we're seeing is the wheels are off the wagon. Insanity is being called sanity. And even things that built the most powerful economy and one of the most powerful and free nations and societies the world has ever known has been perverted by exactly the same thing that destroyed the ancient empires, a paganism run amok. So here we are. Go ahead. I know you had someplace you wanted to take us.
Well, let me just add to what you're saying. Let's make a distinction here. Some people are born psychopaths. Some people are yep. born with a mental defect, a mental illness, and that mental illness is extreme narcissism, psychopathy, psychopath, sociopath. These people cannot thrive in an environment of truth. And so what these people have done is these mental degenerates, these people that have no conscience, these people that cannot feel empathy, they imitate. They're imitators, and so they're pretenders. And so they're the ones that infiltrate into these institutions, into the churches, into politics, and they step on people, and they imitate people, and they rise to the top, and then they establish the Overton window of what's acceptable think, is the acceptable way to think, the acceptable thought, the acceptable narrative. Then they get everyone to buy into their reality, and they get to be sovereign within that reality. And so as a result, we have a structure on this planet, Truman World Structure, and they are the ones that get to dictate what constitutes what's real and what's not real. All right, so that these people exist is a contradiction to the mainstream Christian narrative, who says we got to love everybody, we got to love our neighbor, and yet there are these people on this planet that they will stab you in the back. They will step on you on their way to the top, where they migrate in order to have their globalist narrative have dominion on this planet. So there is something that at the root of Christianity that keeps us buying into this lie that we have to just, you know, let these people infiltrate into our institutions and be okay with it. And here we are now in a time where their insanity is now being pushed on us, as if anybody doesn't buy into it, we're the ones that have the mental illness. The people that love the truth are mentally ill. Now, can we get a little bit better idea of why they killed the Mashiach, why they killed the Messiah? They murdered the truth bringer. Of course they did, because that's their nature, to kill, steal, and destroy. And they do exist. And until we understand that they are the enemy of reality, they are the enemy of truth, that we will continue to fall into this trap over and over again and accept, you know, and expect a different result when we try to work our way through to understanding this thing. So I don't know, mark one with that.
Okay. Well, there's a lot there. Let's put it this way, David. The question is, and we look at this, I think all of us kind of have the same reaction. We recoil a bit and we say, how nutty is this? What can we possibly do? And ultimately, I have contended for a long time, the answer is pretty simple. The answer is almost so simple that people don't want to do it. And, of course, it's said to us in Revelation 18:4 in a number of places, touch not the unclean thing, but especially come out of her, my people. Don't participate. You see this insanity? Hey, don't be insane. Don't let people tell you that you have to go along with insanity when you know better. So what we got to do is come out of her. Now, I mentioned the Budweiser thing and all the transgender stuff. Because ultimately, the way people get roped into this is by participating in a system that they know is corrupt. If you, you know, we don't have a free market economy. How is it that these corporations can stay in business? Answer, it doesn't matter whether people buy their products or not. This is why boycotts are ineffective. Because you can boycott them all day long. Ha ha, that's not where they're getting their money. So what we need to do is just to say, all right, I don't want anything to do with the whole stinking system. I'm going to come out of it. Come out of anything that, honestly, I'll put it this way, David. I'd start with saying, you got a church that has Easter in their window. They got bunnies and eggs, and they're talking about doing something which the God of the Bible says he hates, and it's abomination to him. I'd just plain stay clear of those. That's a start, but it's only the beginning, because what we need to do is to say, here is a time and a season where we have to return to what's important and lose the crap. And I'm sorry if that word offends people, but what ought to offend people is what it really describes, which is the crap that is offensive to the creator of the universe.
Well, when we have insane people, and I'm going to use Adam Schiff. I'm just going to point the finger at Nancy Pelosi. When we have people that are unhinged in positions of leadership that dictate what is Chuck Schumer, when they're the ones dictating what constitutes what's real, Schumer loses it on Tucker for having the audacity to show the truth to show the videos of what really happened on January 6th. It was an amazing moment if for those of us with eyes that can see, to watch a United States senator have a meltdown, and he wasn't the only one. There were people on the right, Romney and all these people. It's not about party anymore. It's about truth versus a lie. Now, here's one more thing I want to throw in on. You know, these companies like Budweiser, they're not operating, they weren't operating, you know, a couple of years ago in a system of capitalism, because keep in mind, we're dealing with a private system, Federal Reserve. He who controls the currency controls politicians. It was Rothschild who said, I don't care who makes, give
control of
the
nation's money.
Currency, yeah. I don't care who makes the law. So what we're, what we thought was capitalism, and what the left, so-called, thought they were fighting was capitalism, when it was never capitalism. It was cronyism. It was the private monetary system gets to determine who is successful and who is not. So the corporations, you know, and we witnessed that when they bailed out the banks back in 08. So we live in an artificial system. It started a long time ago. It infiltrated into the churches. The churches create an artificial Christianity. It's a fake Christianity. Oh, that's a big, difficult pill for so many to swallow. Because how do you, in the year 2023, and you've done it all your life, well, this is the way we've always done it. Well, you know, fake Christianity is as prevalent as fake news and fake politics and fake government. And coming out of her, my people, her is the delusional mystery Babylon, the harlot, that really encompasses economics, religion, education, medicine. It encompasses all of those things. And it's symbolized by the great whore. And so there, run with that, Mark.
Well, exactly. I mean, it is. This is the term that I have used, and I know some folks find it offensive, but hey, you can find it right there in Scripture. We're warned against it. It's the whore church. And he uses the metaphor. You can't miss it if you go through Scripture, and that's the problem. It's interesting to me, David, that things which the Scripture says, in fact, infuriate him, we are infuriated when people point it out. Isn't that amazing? I mean, think about that just for a second. When people, when the Creator says, you know, I hate these things, if you dare to point that out, they hate you. So guess where their real loyalty, their love actually lies, and it's not hard to figure out. So what we're seeing, yeah, and you've heard this before, it's a spiritual battle. You're right, all the world's a stage. There are so many distractions going on from one end to the other. So much of what we're seeing, and the Trump thing is an example of it, is intended to distract us from the real battle. The real battle is simply what it's always been. It's good versus evil. And the irony is the following. The more in your face the evil gets, the more people reject it, the more people say, I don't want to see it, right? Like Sergeant Schultz, I see nothing, and they will not pay attention to the things that are getting them and their children and ultimately the entire country destroyed. Go ahead.
I tell you, I had this exact experience. Maybe you can relate to it. Okay, so I started reading. I was born and raised Catholic, and I did a lot of church hopping into different Protestant-type churches. And, you know, I start reading the Bible myself, and what I'm reading in the Bible is not like it's like, I'm reading stuff that is not being taught from the pulpit. So I started asking questions. Well, I got resistance. I'm talking to people that were in positions of authority. I started getting resistance from the questions that I was asking. And it was almost as though, well, they, instead of answering my questions, they would be offended by my questions, which really intrigued me. So I started asking more questions, and I began, you know, and this is how I ended up, you know, working my way through, is I had overcome the fear that they were attempting to instill in me for asking questions. They were attempting, the hierarchy, the Nicolaitan hierarchy of Christianity, they took offense to questions, which was my first indication that there was a serious problem here. Because I knew my heart was right relative to who I am inside the church. And it was a shocking thing. So the first thing they use is fear. And what they need and what we're experiencing right now, ultimately they want to control by force. They want to control our minds, our hearts. They want to control society, you know, using force. But in the kingdom of heaven, the truth doesn't require force. It is about order. And the dark side is about chaos. You know, remember Get Smart, the old, and they even did a movie, Maxwell Smart, you know, it's control versus chaos. No. You know what? That's, both of them are wrong. It's order versus chaos. So the good guys, the truth, the disciples of truth, we're about order. And order and reason and common sense and are all part of that understanding. And that's what's missing. And the churches, the institutional, delusional, projection onto Scripture that they don't, you know, that they're preventing us from seeing the truth of the Scripture, that they're preventing us from seeing, they're in control of that. When I say they, again, I go back to Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. One more thing and then I'll yield. Lest we forget, Israel back in the day was a father divorced them because they were committing adultery, and adultery in a metaphorical sense with the world. They were buying into the lie. They were buying into a narrative, and they were walking as though they believed it was truth in their haughty arrogance, which is really, I think, a lot of the reason the world hates Christianity today, because they have the haughty arrogance about, like, we got the truth and you're going to hell. And, you know, that is no wonder people walk away, because they're not being the light and they're not being the salt, and which is the first evidence that there's a serious problem for those of us that are directed or in love with the truth. So idea that the modern church couldn't be just as adulterous, a whore, you know, as a matter of fact, there's a scripture, I think it's Jeremiah or Isaiah, I don't remember which one it said. The tribe of Judah was, no, is the tribe of Israel, the 10 tribes, the northern tribes, were worse than a whore.
Oh, it's Jeremiah chapter 3.
Because whores get paid for what they do. Okay.
It's in
go
there,
ahead, Mark. Go
it's
ahead.
In there twice, David. It's the same, almost the same story. The two whoring wives, the two whoring houses, the whoring church. I refer to it as the whore church and the whore synagogue. Basically, Jeremiah chapter 3, Ezekiel chapter 23, and he says, "Return to me," over and over. And yeah, you should have known better. Is the theme, because you saw what happened to the northern kingdom, the whoring church, and look, you got even worse than she did. You know, in your abominations and all the things you do and are still doing. So again, this pattern is not—it's not surprising. It's not—it's not difficult. You know, I wasn't planning on going here, but I'm glad we did, because ultimately, one of the things that certainly helped me to come out of that so many years ago was this understanding. You mentioned it already today. Yeah, you know, coming up Catholic, I was raised protesting Catholic in Sun God Day School and all this, and I mentioned having seen so many things that I went, "Well, wait a minute, this is inconsistent. What kind of God would can't count between Friday and Sunday?" And say that's not 3 days and three nights and so forth. Well, it turns out, and I didn't realize this till later, I saw it as contradictions and things that I had been told that were lies. And I remembered, I look at three examples. One was marriage and, you know, things that we're told about marriage that aren't consistent. Nowadays, they don't even pretend, right? We're going to license abomination. And the other one has to do with food. And, you know, why is it that pork is not food, never was food, still isn't food? Turns out that there are all kinds of quote-unquote scientific reasons. And then there are things in prophecy that we're told not to pay any attention to, like the mark of the beast, which is being implemented right around us. The Restrict Act is here today. So essentially, later I went back and I realized the metaphor that we need to look to is the very, very first public address that Yeshua gives. It's called the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. It's easy to find. And he begins, after the Beatitudes, as they're called, he begins by essentially a rhetorical device that he uses over and over again. And it goes something like this: "You've heard it said, but I tell you." Now, what is he saying? He's saying, here's what you've heard. This is the crap you've been taught. And in some cases, it's based on truth. But then there's going to be a lie. I'm going to tell you what's really written. I'm going to connect the dots. And no, he didn't change a single word of his own instruction. He even said so right there in that same speech. I'm not changing one yoder tittle. But if we will read that and understand it, everything else falls into place. And I think that's the reason he said it first. Because everything else in the ministry is about saying, look, you've inherited lies, Jeremiah said it, from your fathers, things where there's no truth. We have still, 17 centuries plus later, we're still dealing with the lies of Sun God Day and paganism and all this infiltration. Well, you've heard it said, but what he told us was what he himself written. He wrote. He was the Torah made flesh, is. And so all we got to do is to say, hey, if we see inconsistency, if the whore church is teaching us something that runs right afoul of what he says, claiming that, you know, he did away with his own law when he said he wouldn't, guess who's lying? So over and over again, I will contend there is a real simple, it's called a razor to discern scripture. And that is, if we read something in Paul that sounds like he's calling the one he says is his Messiah a liar and saying that Jesus did away with the law, well, guess what? Somebody's misquoting Paul or mistranslating it or taking it out of context. And Peter says it's tough to read Paul. You know, a lot of this stuff is twisted. That's the last thing in the book of Peter, his two books that you'll read. But ultimately, again, David, it's not that complicated. It's just that we have, like you point out, we've inherited so many lies, so much stuff, we got to start getting rid of all that. I call it negative education, things that we've learned that are just plain wrong. You got to unlearn them, get rid of the baggage before you can go back and say, okay, what does it really say? Start with a clean slate and then build, how about this, line by line, precept by precept, here a little, there a little, on the foundation, right? The rock, which is exactly what is written and who it was that was the Torah made flesh and came to correct all the stuff that wasn't written that was added to and subtracted from. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, and I couldn't have said it better. And I'll bookmark that with, or I'll book in that with, that is what the word repent means. See, we have a Christian institution that you got to repent and be saved, which means you come to the altar and you raise your hand or you say the magic words, you get to die and go to heaven. Nah, that ain't it.
It's right.
It is a complete transformation of your mind. Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the image of the Truman Show, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That the narrative of the world, okay, we live in the world, but we're not of the world, okay? The scripture talks about that. When we're living in truth, we're strangers to the world. And as we read scripture and let be aware that our minds have been imprisoned by a system of a belief system that we need to break away from and be liberated from. But the religious system, now here's the problem. That religious system says if you don't buy into what we're teaching, you're going to hell. And I remember when I was, navigating my way out of Catholicism, the fear of hell was terrifying. It was absolute terror for me to question Holy Mother Church. So I imagine that if I had a problem with that, I just imagine everybody else does too. Especially when you really love God, especially when you really love truth. The fear, because my family had been traditionally Catholic for generations. Of course, my dad then married a Methodist, and that kind of messed things up because, there was this angst between the families. And, fortunately for me, my mom, after a certain number of years of being Catholic, couldn't tolerate it anymore, so she started wandering away from the faith. Of course, that didn't go well with Dad, but it opened a door for me. And, when we go into Scripture, we have to read it with an open mind and pray for understanding. There's a Scripture that says, if you lack wisdom, ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. But let's not be so arrogant to think that I'm the only one that has Scripture, so whatever I read is true, and what you read isn't, because I have the Holy Spirit. And I've run into that hurdle before. But let me go back and tie up what you were saying. Repenting, understanding that we've been deceived, looking at Scripture for really, again, for the first time. And as the book begins to unfold its secrets, its mysteries and truths, then we can be liberated from the structures, the hierarchy, the Nicolaitan thing out there that is an abomination before our Father. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay. Well, and we've got less than a minute, about 45 seconds here. So ultimately, this is one of the things that has always irritated me, too. The holy, universal, and yes, Catholic, because that word means universal. One of the things that we've been told is that there can be only one. There's only one bride, and that's not true either, by the way. Yeshua gives the example of the 10 virgins, and five of them, at least, are going to go and be with the bridegroom. Well, wait a minute. The point is, the church tells us there can be only one, and if you're not part of the one, then you're going to hell, and so forth. So ultimately, this is the time to pay attention to what it really says. And I can't think of a better time than right now to look and study. And with that, Chag Sameach, folks. Thanks again, as always, David, and Shabbat Shalom.